The following content is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your own physician, pharmacist, or healthcare professional for your own healthcare concerns.
Bringing you a passion for health and wellness, Dr. Omar Uliwa is here to answer your pharmaceutical questions. Now, let's go in the pharmacy with Earl Ingram and Dr. Omar.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.
All right, welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. It's that time again. We are joined once again by my good friend, and I always say the best podcast that I do, and the most valuable and important podcast that I do, and you know I do many, is with my good friend, Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. He is the founder and proprietor, owner of Welltopia Pharmacy. Good morning to you, Dr. Omar. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, I feel like I can move a mountain.
That is great.
I've had my cup of oatmeal this morning. And, you know, I just think back, morning, it would have started without me eating anything and probably making it to lunch before I had eaten anything before I met you. And now I make sure that, you know, I get that cup of oatmeal in the morning. You know, you told me the value and the importance of having something to eat at the beginning of the day. I just had my RSV vaccination on. Is it RSV? I don't know what it's called, but
you got the RSV last time, I think.
Yeah,
a couple of days ago.
A couple of days ago. And so I've completed the trifecta with the flu, the COVID, and now the RSV. I feel like I'm ready to move a mountain.
This feeling is very precious that you're able to kind of be out and about. Today, eating breakfast, you do it when it's like 8 a.m. So you eat breakfast before 10 a.m., which is prime time for you to eat breakfast. So you have energy, you have power. When this surge of cortisol in your body is pushing you to go out and change the world. And that's for people who do the more important things during the day, in the morning. And that's why we have this cortisol in our body that feeds on the energy that we give it. So it's strategic to eat breakfast, and it's not strategic to try to suppress hunger by energy drinks and coffee. And then we remember that we are eating by 1 p.m. after the prime time for the body to produce is gone. So breakfast is the hack for eating healthy. You eat a healthy breakfast, it just gives you this sense of security until lunch. And then dinner, we all eat dinner and we can have smart choices for good proteins, veggies. And if we're still hungry and we need a piece of sweet, it's the last at the end of the meal.
You know, Dr. Omar, our subject matter of today, for today, is one that clearly longevity has its place in this life. And the life is so short. We sometimes think, well, you know, he lived to be 80 years old, lived to be 90. Well, you know, that's a short period of time considering how long the world has been moving. And we get 60, 70 years. Some of us don't even make it to 40 and 50. And so what we fail to understand is that we can have a life of longevity, but a healthy life. And that's what you're here to talk about today.
Yeah, it is. imperative to say that I want to live long, but I want to live healthy. I don't want to be at 7 years old in crutches and not able to move and not able to think, losing my memory. That's a doom and gloom for growing old. All the research that is happening today is to extend the lifespan, but be able to do things as if you're young again. And that's why we are having those buzzwords that come out in longevity medicine. With every new study that come out to find out new kind of cells, new kind of treatment, and finding ways to support the memory, to support the brain, to support the blood vessels. So it all goes back to basic structure of living healthy to kind of extend this lifespan. Today, I want to talk about a buzzword in the longevity medicine, which is called cellular senescence. Cellular senescence. It's kind of, a lot of doctors are talking about it. Imagine your body is like a bustling city and your cells are the workers keeping everything running. Cellular senescence happens when one of those workers, a cell, gets damaged or worn out and decides, I'm done dividing, multiplying. But here's the twist. It doesn't just quit and disappear. It hangs around like a zombie in a horror flick that wasn't wanting to go away. To be precise, senescence is a state where the cells enter a permanent arrest in the growth cycle. It's not the same as apoptosis, which is like programmed death of the cell, dying for the greater good to leave place for the new cells. No, it's actually not doing that. And it's not cancer where cells go rogue, multiplying uncontrollably. Senescent cells stay metabolically active. They are still alive in a way, and they start sending out signals called the senescence associated secretory phenotype, SASP. It's like a signal it sends out, which are basically inflammatory messages to the rest of the body. So it's inflammation, low-grade inflammation, now being explained with this senescent cells. Think of those zombie cells as they increase in number by growing old, and we're not sleeping well, we're not eating healthy. We can get up to 10 and 20% of our body cells to be in this state of zombie cells. We're not using them. They are not helping us, but they're just hanging around.
So, again, we're lay people here. And when you and I like the way they framed this as the city and the workers and all those kinds of things, it makes it a little bit easier for us to understand. But the cells themselves, Dr. Omar, you know, we don't think of ourselves as, you know, this gigantic composition of cells. That's basically who the human beings are. And so, you know, we don't even think of it in that manner. Probably wouldn't even give it a second thought if you don't bring it up and talk about it. I guess billions of cells that are in the human being, they have a life expectancy. Each cell has its own life expectancy. Is that how this thing works?
That is exactly true. There is life expectancy for the cells. And then when we are young and our cells reach the maturity level that they are no more helping the body, here what is called apoptosis, programmed cell death. The cell dies, all right, disintegrates and becomes a food for the new cells that come out instead of these old cells. So this happens in the blood, this happens inside the cells, this happens everywhere. The challenge happens when we have inflammation and something prevents those cells from dying. Exactly like a zombie. The zombie is there, right? Walking around in the city, right, doing nothing, right? But just out there. And then they increase in numbers, all right? So we have a city of zombies, all right? We can't go out now because zombies they don't look nice, all right? They're not going to harm us unless we come close. But when they increase in number to the point of harming the bodies, that's when Alzheimer happens, cardiovascular events happen, type 2 diabetes gets out of control, And we kind of, he's getting old, we're getting, he's no more functioning, you know, and we need more help. So it's, I'm trying to make it simple to understand.
But so,
we're aggregates of cells.
But so one of the things that, and I told you, you always make me think. So now we've got these cells that in a healthy situation die out. They've outlived their usefulness, and then newer cells are able to feed off of them. So why don't the cells that die off, aren't these being food for the newer cells and they hang around? What creates that situation?
What creates that situation is that the mechanism by which the healthy way of the new cells coming out and feeding off the old cells that die is no more there, because we don't have the enzymes and the mechanism that make this a healthy process. So if we are always not eating in the morning, let's say until it's 2-3 p.m., just hungry all the time, and I see this a lot in younger women. When I meet with them, they're running and they're going here and there, and I ask them, when did you eat last? And you're talking to a woman who's 25 years old,
right?
I ate yesterday, last night. So I stopped this woman and I told her, this is your metabolic reserve that's not going to serve you when you are 35 years of age. You are using your youth, your young cells, overdriving them and making them overwork now, but the tax is going to come to your body after 10 years. So what happens is that we keep pushing ourselves, running around without enough food, not sleeping at night. People are not getting the 7-8 hours of sleep. We have the phones and screens next to us, always checking the feeds on the social media, because we just cannot disconnect. And then 10 years later, we have a problem. And then we ask ourselves, why do I have high blood pressure? It never ran in our family. Why do I have type 2 diabetes? I've been trying to take care of what I eat. Oh, but I have a sweet tooth. I eat sweets in breakfast and lunch and dinner without the proper kind of way of eating. So it's like, doesn't happen overnight, Earl. It happens step by step. But at the end of the day, our body is systems. The heart is connected to the gut, connected to the brain, connected to the mobility. So the current inflammation of our system is very low grade. It just keeps brewing under our eyes, and we notice it. We notice when we feel bad. We notice it when the doctor rolls out his eye and say, I can see that the numbers of your lipid profile are not as it used to be. Maybe we can add this drug, this medication. The moment a doctor is adding a new drug to your prescriptions, this is time to step back and say, what else can I do to support my body other than this prescription? Step by step. So, all basics.
So Dr. Omar, now I find myself in the situation that you just described. My old cells are dying off, but they're remaining. What's the process? What can I do now that I find myself in that situation to alleviate it?
A very good question. We go to the most basic things that you're doing as habits that you can just get rid of that are not serving you. The first one that serves you is strength training. Strength training sends the strongest signal for cell renewal, activates what is called satellite cells, a mitochondrial biogenesis, and the mitochondria is the factory which manufactures energy for the cells. That reduces senescent burden over time. So if you do strength training 2 to 4 times per week, beats any supplements.
Really?
Right? And you already do strength training. Just do one more strength training. All right? So that's the beauty of it. It's like we see those buzzwords and the way to combat things and to make things better are in that for each.
So when you talk about strength training, you're not talking about I grunt it out for an hour, hour and a half. How much time are we talking about for, let's say, you know, seniors?
Well, we're talking about 30 minutes. You don't have to do it over a long period of time. I worked once before with a personal trainer, and he would have me do the strength training session, all of it within less than 20 minutes, just doing it fast. So we want to work smart, not hard. And I always recommend it to someone going back to the gym for something like strength training to do it through guided access to a strength trainer, someone in the gym to help you. And it's good also to start with apps on your phones to kind of tell you what are the easy strength training exercises to do. I use an application called Muscle Gainer. Muscle Gainer. It just helps me a lot to kind of jumpstart my training if I stay for several days without training and I can't go to the gym. So I can do those trainings right at home without any equipment.
You know, Dr. Omar, you know, I have to attribute me feeling as great as I do. About a month ago, I was, you and I were having a conversation, and I know that my strength level was dissipating, and my muscles didn't seem to have any strength in them. And you suggested it's a white powder. I don't know. It's
creatine.
Creatine. I take a scoop of that, a small scoop of that every morning. And Dr. Omar, it is a magical for what it's been able to do in rebuilding strength in my muscles. I'm just so amazed that something like that, you know, just a little powder. I don't know what, you know, what's in it, but it certainly has revived. And me going to the gym, I'm not as tired as I once was. I can, you know, do more strength exercises. I mean, all of these things, they're pieces, right? You're talking about longevity, right? We're talking about longevity. But all of these different planks go into longevity, right? You can't just say, well, I want to live a long time, and don't do anything to prepare yourself to live a long time, can you?
Yeah, so actually you take creatine every day. It's like natural energy buffer found in your muscles, brain, and heart. It helps you to recycle the cellular energy, ATP molecules, in your cells, in your body. Think of it as a backup battery for your cells. You already have some, which is coming from food like meat and fish. Now you're adding more. That improves the muscle strength, support brain energy, and help the cells to handle stress better so you can exercise. That would help to decrease this cellular senescence problem. Creatine also is found in food, you know, so it's like in beef, in herring. It's inside the meats that we do not eat as often. So that's why taking every day 3 to 5 grams of creatine, which is one serving, can be serving you much to give you that energy that you need to hit the gym.
So, Dr. Omar, longevity. You know, I know people in their 40s who basically have, you know, kind of burn out already from the way they've lived their lives. And it's pretty clear that if by the age of 40, you are starting to show signs of you know, weaknesses in your strength, losing your hair, you're having health issues and those kinds of things. You know, all of those things are attributed to not taking care of yourself. And if you're not taking care of yourself in your 30s and your 40s, Dr. Omar, by the time you get to be my age in your 70s, it's pretty safe to say you're not going to be things aren't going to get better for you as you age if you haven't taken care of yourself in the early stages. Is it safe to say that?
I totally agree with you. Now, we are on the 20s. We're running. We're trying to find a job. We're trying to figure out what to do. We're not sleeping. We're building. Someone want to work a good job. Someone wants to be an entrepreneur. In the 30s, we kind of trying to settle down on the thing that we will do for the rest of our lives, the project of our kind of future. As you hit 40, the first thing that I tell people to do is check your testosterone levels. Because when testosterone falls, that's the men's brain, muscle, energy, and the ability to do things. As testosterone goes down, your ability to live healthy goes down as well. And we are having a pandemic of low testosterone for men. That's the most important hormone that makes people feel crappy after 40 years of age. And now with the sedentary lifestyle and kind of running all day long, we have that problem. So after your 40 years of age, you start to check your blood work, check your testosterone. If it is low, then we're going to do the basic things to help support those levels. We eat healthy, we eat breakfast, we take some pomegranate juice, and we hit the gym.
So,
because exercise is going to make those testosterone levels go up before everything else. And if someone come and tell you you're 40 years of age, you need to take testosterone, tell them, no, I am going to do it naturally first. Because actually most men after 40 years of age can do it naturally, just because we have lifestyle changes that we haven't looked at. Now it's time to look at them.
So Dr. Omar, we're in a discussion about the longevity and healthy longevity of life. And so you went to a seminar, and the subject was the longevity of life, the healthy longevity of life. Are they continuing to do research and getting more and more, gaining more and more information on what it takes? I mean, I know that you can't get all the answers. You have to keep doing scientists, keep doing more and more research. And as they do more and more research, they uncover other things. Is that how... and so bit by bit, piece by piece, you're kind of building, you know, this house, if you will, of longevity. And so what you've learned last week at that seminar, a year from now, there'll be other pieces. So it's forever.
I learned a very important lesson, Earl, which is longevity without health is just survival. Healthy longevity is the goal. So I went to what is called Longevity Fest by A4M, in which they have aggregate of doctors, pharmacists, researchers, scientists, all interested in this subject, longevity and health. The research keeps going. The new products and ways to stay healthy keep evolving. And every year they have a spotlight on one of those concepts or ideas or ways to make this more applicable. Peptides, for instance, this is a big deal now in longevity medicine, make things faster and easier. So it's like the wild, wild west. But at the end of the day, I try to listen and see and examine those research that prove to us that the concept of healthy living is attainable, even if for someone who's having chronic health conditions. It's just a step-by-step thing. So we have to connect what is hormones, what is muscle, what is mitochondria, how they all work together, and how to make these concepts easy for us to understand and grasp. And kind of it can be overwhelming, so we have to simplify it. And that's why I tell my patients, feel free to ask a question, feel free to join with me, not a consultation session, but how about we do a program for the whole year in which I work with you from the first month to the third month to the sixth month, month number 9, month number 12. We have kind of steps that we do, the first 3 months are going to be foundational support to your body and your health. And then we're going to be targeted on something like weight loss or muscle gaining or any other brain health. And then we optimize the plan and then we reach the goals. So we want kind of a guided access, because now in the abundance of information era that we are living, we hear so many things. And then I ask myself, what do I do first? What's the first thing that I will do as I leave this podcast, or as I close the computer, as I stop my conversation with ChatGPT? We want to answer those questions in a very optimized precision medicine, precision pharmacy way, in which this is a plan designed for me, something that I can do, that I can start.
You know, Dr. Omar, you mentioned that at the seminar where pharmacists, doctors, scientists, all of those entities together looking at the same issue. From different, is it safe to say from different, those are three different disciplines, doctors, pharmacists, and scientists. So you guys are all seeing it from your discipline, and now all three of you chime in, and the conversations are from all three of those different disciplines, all focusing on the same thing. Is that how it comes to be?
Yes. The science makes the research that is used by the doctors who are dealing directly with the patient as kind of a treatment goal. And the pharmacy is having the tools that is used and produced to the consumer. So for the perfect cycle to work, the patient is the king of healthcare. Everyone is serving the king. All right? Insurance is not the king. All right? Right. Insurance is never the king. You are the king.
You know, Dr. Omar, you the way that you explain it makes it easy for a person such as myself, you know, just an average citizen, to understand it. It's not, you're not above what I can understand in my own mind. And I think the value, the hidden value in what we do with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist on this podcast, is the way you explain it. It's, I don't have to run and grab a thesaurus and try to figure out these things. You explain it in the simplest terms, and so, you know, if I can understand it in the simplest terms, then I'm in a better position to state my case and what it is I need to do. I think it's the real value of the show, Dr. Omar.
I completely agree with you. So we try to make things simple, because my goal is to have people come out with value. To give you a kind of synopsis of our talk, what can we do to live healthy today? In medicine, conventional medicine, we want to prevent people from dying early by lowering the blood pressure, solving the challenges of diabetes, cholesterol, cancer screening early, that keeps people alive longer, but often after damage is established, those kind of managing those conditions and solving them. And then in functional medicine, we ask the question of why did the disease start in the first place? We find some answers in big words like inflammation, insulin resistance, gut health, toxins and micronutrient depletion, where we use supplements. So slowing the biological aging upstream makes things better for the body. And then we have the exercise and muscle and science. How do we preserve those functions by muscle mass, bone density, and balance and strength? So the muscle is a longevity organ, not just movement tissue. And then we have the nutrition science, what fuels the repair versus the degeneration by having enough proteins, getting the creatine, the good omega essential fatty acids, and then metabolic flexibility. That supplies the building blocks for renewal. Then we have the hormonal science, like what we said, the testosterone, estradiol, the thyroid, and the cortisol stress. Then we have the sleep and the circadian biology, getting the 7-8 hours of sleep at night, deep sleep. And finally, we have the immunology, who clears the damaged cells, which is the senescent cell removal, the zombie cells, and cancer surveillance, because it's a big deal. And the earlier we can scan for those cancers, we can treat them. So the immune system is like a cleanup crew. So it's just simple things if we kind of simplify them, but I don't have to work on all of them today. It's the vision, and then we have the plan.
You know, Dr. Omar, even, you know, prior to having these continuous dialogues with you, I wasn't a guy who worked towards getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep. It just was not who I was. 4 or 5. And you know, I remember you talking about make the room as dark as it can be, right? Make the room as dark as it can be. Don't bring the cell phone in the bedroom and these are simple things. I was having issues, insomnia, and those kinds of things. And so when I would, you know, wake up periodically at night, maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, I would give in and not fall back to sleep to complete the 7 to 8 hours of sleep. But Dr. Omar, if I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning, I go right back to bed. I just stay there, and then I fall back to sleep, and I get my 7-8 hours of sleep. And people see me and they say, "How old are you?" 71. And I said, "Well, what am I supposed to be, on a cane? Am I supposed to be bent over? Is my skin supposed to not have any resilience or shine to it, Dr. Omar? Am I supposed to not know where things are because I'm 71? I mean, I move around good. I physically move around, and people say, 71? And I'm like, wait till you see me at 81, right?
I believe that our right of living is the same right of being healthy. So you claim this right, and this is wonderful, because the 7-8 hours of sleep are non-negotiable for longevity, because that's when the brain clears the waste, the hormonal reset, the cells repair the DNA, and senescent cells get flapped for cleanup. Less than that, and aging accelerates, period. So we can do this by several things. If you wake up at night at 1 a.m., you can go back to sleep, but many people cannot. And I have a plethora of supplements that can help this to happen naturally. We use a combination of L-theanine and GABA to help switch off the brain at night. But there is also a very new product that came out. It's called Bioactive Peptide, derived from brown rice. It's not melatonin. It's designed to calm the nervous system, not knock you out. It's called the PeptiStrong. That's the peptide. Comes from a different supplement, professional supplements company, coming from rice-derived peptides that help to reduce stress signaling, the hyperarousal that makes you kind of can't go back to sleep, supporting the natural GABA and serotonin balance. And the result is you fall asleep easier and you stay asleep without grogginess. So you're not like forcing the sleep, you're allowing the physiology to do its job. And that's where I see the current supplements for sleep is going, is like to make it more natural and less side effects. Because I still see people who take diphenhydramine, Benadryl, to go to bed every night. And if you are above 65 and you use Benadryl every day, this is kind of Alzheimer in progress.
So, Dr. Omar, I wish we had more time, but we don't. We'll certainly reconnect the next time around. I can't wait. Love you and all of the great works that you do and Welltopia. I mean, I love your staff, right? I mean, I've grown to know them. They know me, and so it's an extension of you. It's a blessing to be able to, you know, go into, I don't even call it a pharmacy, man. I call it a family.
Thank you.
You feel
that
comfortable.
Means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
But we gotta let you go. We'll see you the next time around. Bless you and the family. Kiss the babies. And I'll see you
this
soon.
Year. See you
All
soon.
Right.
Take care.
You have been
All
in
right.
the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, on what's going on with Earl Ingram.